1回でできます
。Back to the pizza. Back to the pizza.
How are you doing? Okay, welcome back. You're back and I'm leaving. okay, I'm going to start with some Maramacomos. Okay, there will be no Shir Sunday because I'm leaving early. So I won't be able to hear. I have to be at the airport around 10 in the morning. let me start with a few Maramacomos. I just don't know my schedule yet, so it's still up in the air. The best day to do a Shir would be Tuesday, which right now seems to be a day that they scheduled me. The only day that I do know that they scheduled me was Tuesday, so we'll just have to see if that changes. They're also not sure about the logistics yet, so stay tuned, I guess. If not, I'll leave you with the Maramacomos and with Chazara, and we'll pick up when we return. the next topic that we're going to do is Shinui Kone. The material in the in the immediate sugya, Bava Kama Samach Hemed Beis Samach Bava Med Aleph, Maske Flor Abzera, the Gemara that we know, the Beis Hillel Kasha, Tosis Dibra Maskel Ha, Tosis Rid, Dibra Maskel Hamani Beis Shammai, Shit Mukubetzes, Dibra Maskel Hain Velo Shinuyein, what's said in the name of Rabbi Lazar Mi Gurmaiza, that's on page 227, column 1 in the old ones. Tosis Samach Hemed Beis Dibra Maskel Hain Velo Shinuyein, and Tosis on Samech Zayin Omen Aleph, Dirmaskol Mi'ikara Tavola, and the Rajba on that same issue that Tosis discusses. Also Tosis in Bava Kama, Tzadi Hemed Beis, Dirmaskol B'Shevach She'al Gabe Gzela, and Tosis in Bava Metziah Kufyat Zayin Omen Aleph, Dirmaskol B'Shlosha Makomos. The Rosh, of course, in Bava Kama, that same one, Parak Tes Simen Gimel. Rashi and Rabbeinu Peretz, Samach Hemed Beis, Dibra Maskel Nasa Shinui B'Yad HaVekano. We've already seen, we'll discuss them already today, but you should have seen them. The Rambams are over, the first ones at least overlap, Parak Aleph, Uchaz Gneva Halakha Tezvav, but also Parak Beis, Uchaz Gzela Halakha Tezvav. And look at the Rab Chaim, Chidush Rab Chaim Alevi in both of those places, and the Chidush HaGriz on the Rambam also in Hilchos Gezeila. And just remember the Rambam that we're going to refer to again briefly today, which is the Rab Chaim in Parates, Hilchos Gezeila Halacha Aleph. Okay, in addition to that, we already did the Gemara in Tmura Vavam and Aleph. Just remember that Gemara and the Rashi and the Shitmu Gubetzes we discussed. But also the Nesivos on that Gemara, his discussion, that Simon Lamedalit Sivkot and Hay, again, we'll probably make reference to it today, the one of Tavra and Shasya, but also the Meshovev Nesivos, referring to how you read that Gemara. Meshovev Nesivos, of course, is the Nesivos' response, the Xos' response to the Nesivos. So you have the Nesivos and the Meshovev Nesivos on that issue. Also, the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we're going to touch again today, Dir Masul Mistabra and Lo Kablinhu. Also, Choshem Mishpat Shin Nun Aleph, connected to this, Choshem Mishpat Shin Nun Aleph, the Shach Sivkatan Aleph, the Iksos Sivkatan Beis and Gimel, and the Nasivos there in Shin Nun Aleph, Sivkatan Aleph, and Tosin Bava Kama Ayin Omen Aleph, Dir Masul Kiman. Also the Nesivos Shin Mem Ches Aleph. Okay, that's a beginning. After that, I'm just going to give you a little bit more. Look at the Gemara in the continuation of the Gemara. Two Gemaras. Number one, Bava Kama Samach Vamed Bey Samach Zayin Ralph. Obviously, we're not going to get to this the first day of Shin Kona, but I want to give you enough to work on while I'm away, so people shouldn't panic. Samach Vav Mud Beis Samach Zayin Omen Aleph. Elam Arava Hamilsa Kashiba Atul Mi Kara Chulin V'Hashta Hekdesh. and Tosfos Divrei Maskil Shinui Hashem and Divrei Maskil Halav Hachi, and compare that to the Ramban in Mochamos, in Gozel Machil, that's Kuf Yud Dalin Omer Aleph Divrei Maskil Masha Kosav Od. It's Mem Aleph Omer Aleph in the Dapei Harif to make it easier to find it. And also the Meiri in Shitim Kovetzes, 286, column 1 and 2, Dibra Maskel Vaharash, the Meiri and the piece Vaharash Zal Cholek. Okay. We already read the Raivin and Bava Kama Tzadi Zayin Amin Aleph, Dibra Maskel Inoch Isla. Just remember that. And the Gemaras in Bava Kama, just a few more Gemaras. Bava Kama Tzadi Dalet Amin Aleph to Tzadi Dalet Amin Beis. Umi Amar Shmuel Hachi until below Svirole. Okay, and just remember again the Tosis Bava Kama Dapid Aleph, Ein Shamim. The Gemara Bav Metzia Ein Chesem Beis. Hey Rabbi Meir until Beshinui Maisa. And the Ramban and Ritva there, Divrei Maskil Dilma. Again, in Shitum Kovetz and Bav Metzia, in the old ones, it's page 356, column 1. And one more Gemara, that's Gitin Nun Gimel Amid Beis, Masiv Rav Papa until Tiyufta, and Tosis there, Divrei Maskil Gazlanu. Okay, so this is the preliminary list for the issue of Shinui Konev, and some of the, as they say, Hadvarim HaMista'afim. And hopefully we'll, if we can do one in Israel, we'll try to do that. If not, we'll begin with it when we come back. What's that? Sure. Just get back to me, because these are copies that I made of whatever, but I keep everything in all sorts of strange places and I can never find them again, so it's good if I have it back. Okay. Okay, now let's move on to Tavra B'Shasya. Let's try to, I'm going to move quickly today, more quickly than I'd prefer, because I normally prefer that we could see things more inside and flesh them out a little bit more, but I want to finish off mostly Tavra B'Shasya today. The topic of Tavra B'Shasya is one which, by its nature, is going to be complex, because essentially what we're trying to understand is the role, if you just look at it again structurally, the role of Mazik within the framework of Geza. Right? The Tavra B'Shasya is an act of, it's a destructive act. Okay? Outside of the context of Gezel, outside of that framework, unquestionably it would be viewed as a classic case of Mazik. Chefetz that doesn't belong to you, that you destroy, that you utterly destroy. Because it is in the context of Mazik, of Gzela, does that change, does that transform, does that shape this particular halacha? So that's really what we're looking at. I mean, sometimes, that's obvious, but sometimes it's helpful to say it. Sometimes you just have to stand back and see, well, what exactly is it that we're talking about? We're talking about Mazik in the framework of Gzela, and we're trying to figure out what impact that has on Gzela and on Mazik. What impact does it have on Gzela? Is it possible that that there can be a Gzela even after the initial act? That's an issue which I've already touched upon in discussing Karen Kain Shagana, right? Whether the Mice Gzela is frozen at that particular point or the Gzela continues as long as you continue to cling to the object, right? Hachzakas HaBe'en. To what extent is there, after the initial act, then, some sort of gzela? To what extent is there gzela outside of an act that takes place in the Rishus of the Nigza? That's one is a question of timing, the other is a question of location, of geography. Another way to look at this, is there gzela vis-a-vis the be'en, or the issue of precluding Hashavas HaBe'en. Does that itself constitute an act of Gzela? Or no, it's not a further or independent Gzela, it simply has certain consequences, but those consequences are legally really all traced back to the original moment. The original moment may have accomplished a certain goal, but if there's a remnant, namely the Ben, still exists, so that, right, is an obstacle or delays certain things. Once there's no longer a Ben, Mimela, everything that happened earlier, right, takes on a different coloration, but not, it's not even a Gloy Milsala Mafreya, it's just when the obstacle is removed, so the full impact of the previous Gzela is felt. That's different than saying that something new can take place in the aftermath, either of the time or the place of the Gzela. So on one level, what we're trying to figure out in Tavra V'Shasya, when we're asking whether or not there's any element of Gzela, is it Gzela at all? If it is Gzela, is it an independent Gzela, given the framework, or is it a continuation of the previous Gzela, and what are the implications of that? Might it even be a Gneva in the framework of Gneva? Maybe this whole idea of, you know, destroying the Be'en, precluding the Hashava, being viewed as either an independent or a continuation, maybe in Gzela that at least is conceivable. After all, we've seen again and again that the category of Gzela is far more flexible than that of Gneva. But can it really also be viewed as an extension of Gneva, even though it's already Bershuso, and so on? That would be another level. So these are questions to ask from that side, from that point of view. From the other point of view, the issue is centered on Mazik. Why isn't this, at minimum, also Mazik? Till now we're discussing, is there elements of Gzela, what kind of Gzela, even Gneva? Those are questions that center on Hilchos Gneva and Hilchos Gzela. I'm asking now, is there any reason why this should not be Mazik? If it was done outside of the framework of Gneva Gzela, Tavra V'Shasya would certainly be Mazik. Does that framework somehow undermine the Mazik side of it? That's a question to be asked from the maybe from the perspective of Hilchos Nizkei Mamon. Does the framework of Gnevo Gzela perhaps only add and enhance and add another dimension or another Mechayiv? Or is it possible that that framework also undercuts what otherwise would be a classic Mazik? So there's a Mazik side to this question as well as a Gneva Ugzela side of the question. The fact that the Gemara in Bab Metzia, in Amafkin, uses the terminology of Gzela when it comes to Tavra V'Shasya is also interesting. At minimum, it's a point of departure. Right? Our Gemara really speaks about Tavra V'Shasya in two places. Our Gemara here in Samachem and Aleph. The other one is the Gemara in Amafkin on Mem Gimel. There the Gemara says, again, Hai man de gozal chavita de chamra mechavre, meikar shavya zuza hashta shavya dalid, tabra shasya mishalim dalid, itrambele mishalim zuze. Mai taima, kivin de yisa hadra lamar ve'ene, hayishaita de kashasa de katavar ka gozal mine, utnan kalagazana mishalim kashasa gze. So it's also not lost on us, that line doesn't appear in our Gemara, it only appears in the Gemara Namafkid, that the Gemara characterizes Tavra V'Shasya as Kagazal Minei, and it invokes the rule of Kalagazlanim Mishalmin Keshas Hagzela. So the word Kagazal, descriptively, and the invoking of the principle Kalagazlanim Mishalmin Keshas Hagzela, on the surface, seems to point, linguistically at least, in the direction of Gzela. The question is how seriously to take that. Let me just say methodologically, I've said this several times already in response to Noah, and that is the fact that the Gemara uses the expression Gzela has to be evaluated. The fact that the Gemara uses that expression makes the use of that expression alone by Rishonim or Achronim insignificant. All they're doing is quoting the main Gemara, which speaks about this halacha. So if Rashi in Bava Kamma repeats the language of the Gemara, there's nothing significant about that. If we find substantive indications that it's not just linguistic, in other words, but there are nafkemina that point in the direction of some sort of gzela or even geneva, that of course is highly significant. But the use of the term gzela alone, when it appears in explicit Gemara, is not significant for a Rishon or for an Achron. It is still significant, perhaps, for the Gemara. On the other hand, having said that, if you find Rishonim who go out of their way to reread the Gemara and to interpolate the word mazik instead of the word gezela, that surely is significant. Right? That going against the grain of the language of the Gemara, yesh devarim bego, there's something going on, obviously the Rishon has as an interest. Either he wants you to understand that he's uncomfortable and that Gemara is lavdafka and the Mechayev is mazik, or even if he maintains that we're still dealing with a form of gezel, what he's trying to tell us is this is an unusual gezel, this is a continuation gezel, it works a little differently than classical gezel, something of the like. And we do find such Rishonim, namely Jonathan, who do we find? What? Oh, you want to make a comment. So hold off your comment just 1 minute before we just get this. Daniel? The Mukhe Yosef in Bav Metzia, the Chidush Haran in Bav Metzia, the Chidush Haran in Sanhedrin. All three are the Rishonim who interpolate the word mazik, even though the Gemara cites Gzeil. But they don't deny the use of the language. Moreover, if it's just inaccurate language, you'd still have to contend with the continuation of the Gemara. Because the Gemara says, now he's being Gozel, the Kalag Azladim, Mishalmin, Kashas, Hagzela. We're invoking a rule, a principle. So how does that principle, Kalag Azladim, Mishalmin, Kashas, Hagzela, how can that work if indeed the interpolation is correct and we're dealing with Mazik and not with Gezel? That's something that we would have to look at. We'll get back to that in a second. Just to contrast it, and then I'll take your question, contrast the Ran, the Chidush Ran, in both in Sanhedrin and Bav Metzia. Those are two different Rishonim, because Chidush Ran and Sanhedrin is not really the Chidush Ran, but the and the Mukhe Yosef. Contrast that with an interesting formulation of the Ravid. Okay, what's the interesting formulation of the Ravid? Ephraim? Can see it? Ari?
It says that kind of split up, that the first when you stole it was one, and then it was four, you stole it again, and that was the other three.
Yeah. He breaks up the four into three and one. So that may seem innocuous, but it isn't innocuous at all. If the idea had been, Ari, if the idea had been, why is that significant? If the idea had been that there is Gzela and then there is Mazik, so you wouldn't formulate it that way.
It's separate, I guess.
You would say that you're Chayiv 1, and now you're Chayiv 4. But of course, since you're talking about the same Chayfetz, you're not going to be Chayiv, it's double jeopardy. You're not going to get penalized. You're not going to have to pay for a Gezel and a Mazik of the same amount. So that it's basically, there's a Mechayiv of 1, there's a Mechayiv of 4, you choose the higher of the two, like we discussed yesterday. You know, if you have two factors, you have to choose the lower of the two. If you have two Mechayivim, then generally speaking, you can always choose the higher of the two, right? So then you wouldn't say, oh, you're Chayiv 1, and now you're Chayiv the other three. The formulation of you're Chayiv 1 and you're Chayiv the other three seems to indicate that this is a two-stage action, which means that the second part is a continuation of the first. It means that there's Gzela phase 1, which is Mechayiv 1, and now phase 2 adds another three. That works well if we're talking about a continuation, not even an independent gzela, I might add, but a continuation gzela. So the formulation of the Ravid is also very significant, as is in the other direction, Nebuchadnezzar, Yosef, Ran, and Ran and Sanhedrin. But we'll have to explain, if you take the view that if you take the view of Mazik, what will we do with Kol HaGazlanim Misham V'Kishas HaGzela? We'll get to that in 30 seconds, hopefully. 40, depending on how long Jonathan's question is. Go ahead. No pressure. Maybe. Since the Rambam, put it this way, a Rishon like the Rambam, who doesn't hesitate to reformulate the Gemara, so if he formulates a peculiar, or at least a charged formulation of the Gemara, I believe that is more significant.
Yes.
For example, Mashal Amad Avadomeh, just recently, when the Rambam quoted over the language of Rav Sheshes on Kufhei Omid Beis, Nasa Olav Gazlan, I thought that was significant. But when a Rishon is quoting the language of the Gemara in Bambitzia as a proof text, like Rashi is in our sugya, I think it's completely insignificant. But in a context like the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, and especially given the proclivity of the Rambam to rewrite things when he feels that conceptually it's warranted, I would agree that the terminology would be significant. Yeah.
I understand a little bit. Gezlet is focused on the Hefzik. Normally, if we had Mazik and we had some other Gezlet, wouldn't we say that we might have been like the high, in which case we have the high of five, no? Or one?
If they were two completely different objects or actions. But in this case, the point is, there is an element, it's like I said before, it is double. We're talking about, the mikvahs. So you're going to pay, $1,000 for breaking it and another $1,000 for stealing it earlier when it only costs
$1,000? Like, maybe, because you have the chiyuv.
Right. As much as we've explained that that's maisa beira, etc., but it's still about suppression of a davar shovi, taking a davar shovi. It's not a knas. We're not talking about keifa. The karen of keneva is never keifa. So I think that the overlap, it's still two chiyuvim, maybe a competition between two mechayvim, but they're two mechayvim overlapping on the same value. And that's always double jeopardy.
So whenever we have more than one of a five that involves Karen, we should
exactly.
Use the Karen.
Exactly. Well, we should raise it to the higher of the two, but we can't raise it beyond the higher of the two. Okay. Where we'll see in Mashal Amad Dover Doma, since we're, on the other hand, something like Chomesh and Kefel is a good example where, we're talking about supererogatory Chiyuvim anyway, right? We're not talking about Karen. We're not talking about Hefsid Mamo. So if you have Kefel and you have Chomesh, according to some people, you'll pay twice. It's a Chiddush of Rabbi Yaakov that Kfelo will be Ololo, or that Chomesho will be Ololo be Kfelo. And if I finish this, then I'll speak about that for a few minutes, and if not, I'll speak about it for 5 minutes before Shinui Kona. So,
okay.
Yeah.
What would the nature of such a payment be? Would you look at it as both the payment of Kfelo and Ezekiel? What about the Shalom? Or just covers it, or?
I think that's a good question. Whether or not that's probably part of our issue. If there are two separate mechayvim, then I think one can look at it as two separate types of payments that overlap. And again, maybe you should take the chomer shebishneihem. But if, as we'll try to explain, at least some one perspective, that's what I meant before when I said, well, this is at minimum a classic mazik. Does the framework of gezeila undercut the mazik? Or to just give you an alternative, which may be more powerful in terms of things like kefel, in terms of ein shamin, and things of that sort. So then you won't just be taking the chumrah shel shneihem. You might have a situation where even if it's a kula, but it's a redefined, integrated whole. So I'll get back to that, but I think that's a legitimate question. If it's ever overlapping but to mechayvim, you should always go by the chumrah. If it's the circumstances here also undercut classic mazik, and therefore the mazik becomes subsumed under the gezel, or the gezel under the mazik, then you might have a situation where even lekula, you're just going to reformulate this whole thing. And I think we'll see, according to some Rishonim, that that's what happens. Okay. Kol ha'gazlanin b'shalmin kashas ha'gzela. How does that work here, if indeed we're talking about mazik? So I think the answer is very simple. It depends what you mean by that principle. If that principle is meant to be very specific and has to do with the inner workings of Kinyanei Gzela, or even of Chiyuvei Gzela per se, then Enochanami. Invoking Kol HaGazlanin B'Shalmin Kashas HaGzela is highly problematic if you view Tavar V'Shasya to be a form of Mazik. However, isn't it conceivable that Kol HaGazlanin B'Shalmin Kashas HaGzela is actually a broader idea, a broader principle, and one which doesn't, therefore, is not limited to Gzela? But we can use it. It's like a melitza, a mashal. Again, another mashal, the Mahadavar Dome there. Seem to be on that track today. Those of you here last year, and I think I made reference to it already this year as well, Ein Shliach Dvar Aveira. Right? So we noted that there's a discussion in the Rishonim and the Achronim whether Mazik is considered an Aveira or not. Yet the Gemara explicitly uses the rule of Ein Shliach Dvar Aveira when it comes to Mazik. Right? Gemara does that in Kedusha. Gemara does it in Bava Kama. Right? But if it's not really an Aveira, it's just a Chi of Tashlumin, how can they use that expression? So we explained that Ein Shliach Dvar Aveira is bigger than its application. It's not just about Shlichus and Dvar Aveira. What it means is, where you have no bailus, no jurisdiction, no domain, no control over a certain area, you have no right to appoint a Shliach either. Along the lines of, you know, Milsa de Leisa B'Shlichus Yesh Leisa B'Tanai, Tosis in Suvis of Ayin Dalid, for those of you who remember it fondly. Anyways, but the point is, sometimes we use a certain expression that is a wider principle. In Shlichus Dvar Aveira means Shlichus is limited, it doesn't apply where there's no bailus. There's no bailus where there's an Aveira, and there's no bailus to be mazik chaver chayiva, even if there's no Aveira. But I can't give you the right to burn down my neighbor's field, because I don't have the right to burn down this field. Okay. So similarly, when we say kol ha'gazonim misham k'shas ha'gzela, and this might very well depend, again, we spent some days on this topic, if kol ha'gazonim misham k'shas ha'gzela flows from the kinyanim, right? Or it's a special gzeres ha'kasuv that goes against the grain of how gzela works. Those are two very different options. But according to either of those options, it seems reasonable to think that it would not necessarily apply to mazik. Or at least it wouldn't be a good way to emphasize and to accentuate a mechayiv of mazik, because it has to do with kinyanim, or it's a special anomaly based on the gzeres hakasuv in geneva u'gzela. But if the idea of kol ha'gazonim misham k'shas ha'gzela is a svara, and if the svara relates to the chiyuv, basically it says very simply, you should evaluate money based on the maisa and zman of the mechayev. Shas ha'mod b'din is good for some things, because that's the time when you're paying. It's the zman kiyum ha'tashlumin. But a better moment, right, is the moment of the chiyuv itself. Kol ha'gazlanim, misham k'shas. It's not about gazlanim, per se. It's a general rule about chiyuvim. If you're trying to figure out, and there's more than one way to evaluate an obligation, so the rule is, kol ha'gazlanim, misham k'shas ha'gzela. Go to the shas chiyuv. If that's all that we're saying, then it's not bad to invoke kol ha'gazlanim, misham k'shas ha'gzela in the context of mazik either. You damage the chepetz. The chepetz value in the marketplace, kadome, fluctuates. We're trying to figure out whether or not shas hatashlumin or shas hahezek is koveya. Yeah, the old rule, the example, kol ha'gazlanim misham k'shas ha'gzela. Now, this gemara of evaluating and kol ha'gazlanim misham k'shas ha'gzela appears in three places. One is the Mishnah in Hagozel, we know about. The other is in Amafkid, which we also know about, in this context of Tavra Mishasya. And the third is, I'm not sure if I gave it in the Mar Makomos, possibly that I didn't, but I'm just, in case anybody just notice it? What's that?
The upper
I don't think so. Psachim, no?
Yes.
Right? Psachim? Lamed Beis, Amud Aleph. Right, Michael?
I haven't done Psachim, so but
did you see it?
No.
Anybody see it? Again, I probably didn't. It's probable that I didn't assign it, especially if no one saw it. I'm assuming I didn't sign it. Everybody has Chasitz Kasheris, or at least the collective group has Chasitz Kasheris. So, anybody see it or anybody know it? Psachim Lamed Beis Amid Aleph.
Didn't Tosfos put it on Samachay?
Yeah, it's actually, you're absolutely right. So there's really no excuse. Tosfos on Samachay Amid Aleph, when he talks about Achav Karen Kate Shaganav, does quote it. Absolutely. When he tries to prove that this idea applies to Yukur Bezula and not just to Shinui Kohen. You're absolutely correct. So everybody should know that. So what is it about? See?
Is it the case with I'm not sure if they're
Truma.
Is it kind
of
paralleled
to Chametz Pesach? Yeah. Truma's Chametz. Let's say you eat the shogeg, Truma's Chametz Pesach. Or in general, you eat Truma. What's the halacha? If you eat Truma b'shogeg, what's the halacha? What? Not exactly. Well, what happens when you eat Truma b'shogeg? You have to be Meshalem. Karen v'chomesh, say better. Karen v'chomesh, what, but something about the Karen. Exactly. You have to give Tvua. You have to, that's a very special halacha when it comes to Truma. That when you eat Truma b'shogeg, you have to replace the cheftza. It's not enough to give cash. Of course, that's very that resonates with us very strongly. Hopefully, right, we just spent time about the Havamin and the Gidim and Rashi, and we've been talking about duplicating and replicating and replacing be'ens, right? So this is a very interesting halacha. When you eat truma b'shogeg, you have to pay in kind. You don't pay cash. And in light of that, it's fascinating and understandable that there's a debate in the Gemara whether or not you pay lefi mida or you pay lefi damim. Perfect. Why would one think that you should pay lefi mida? For the same reason that you're paying a ben, because you're replacing the cheftza, you're not paying for the cheftza, you're not compensating for it. Correct? So that's a machlokas, whether lefi damin mishalem or lefi mida mishalem. So the Gemara says, in Psachim, Gemara says, well, what exactly is the case? Iboilu, kishu mishalem lefi mida mishalem or lefi damin mishalem? So the Gemara says, "Kala echadini kara shavia dalid zuza ilu b'sof shavia zuza." If the price goes down, and the question is whether or not you can pay lefi mida, which would be a lesser price, right? Or you have to pay lefi damim, lefi baylach. The vaday kidimi kara mishalein. You have to pay the higher price. Everybody would agree. You can't get away with lefi mida. Why? Vaday mishalein lefi damim. Dilo gara mi gazlan. Which is very interesting anyway, because on some level, again, we're talking about replacing the end. This Gemara could be added to our Rashi discussion, together with the Havamina of Samach Zayin, but for the Maskana. From this Gemara, you see the possibility that damim can sometimes also be a shiur in replacing the ben, or so it would appear, unless you say there are two dinim. Okay. So the Gemara has this suffix. So what does the Gemara say? If the price goes down, you certainly have to relate to the price because of the rule, lo gara mi gazlan, kala gazlan misham kashas akzeh. Okay. What do you mean, lo gara mi gazlan? So if you look at this Gemara, Rabbi Kiveger on the spot, Gilyon HaShas, says, what do you mean, Lagar Migazlan? What about a case where you do the following? What, we split up the two issues. Kashali, HaMekomokom Nafkamina, Demenu Chayiv Rakim, Din Gazlan, Yachal Shalem Chad Guria, the Peros, Latze Sede Kapara, Brian was referring to Kapara from a minute ago, V'Hashar Mishalem B'mos, V'Hakoyin Yachal Imcho, V'Gam HaChomesh, Rakim Chad Guria, Avalim Lefidamim, Tzarech Lashalem Dalid, the Chomish Mipri, Vakoin in Yachalimcho. Here Rabbi Kiveger Kidarko is, as they say, Kolea Lamatara. You know, he hits a bullseye. He zeroes in on the ambiguity. Rabbi Kiveger says, listen, what's going on here exactly? Logar Migazlan, how does Rabbi Kiveger read the Gemara? Logar Migazlan means there are two things, there's at least one thing going on, or two things going on in every act of achilas truma, the shogeg. One is gezel b'shogeg, gezel ha-shevet. The other is the ma'isa vera of achilas truma b'shogeg. So Rabbi Kivager says, so when the Gemara says lo gara migazlan, if that's what it means, that the gezel side of what's happening here is going to dictate, but all things being equal, otherwise you could say lefimida mishalim, there's going to be a tremendous nafkamina. Because mitzad gezel, you don't necessarily have to pay tevuah. Moreover, the rule is, this is what I think Ephraim is referring to, although he didn't say it exactly, the rule is that you cannot be mochel, the kohen cannot be mochel, this tashlumin, because you need the kapara. That's the view of most Rishonim. There's an issa, there's a yoredeya aspect to all of this. Right? Unless you actually pay back the keren, bitvua, right? There's no kapara. So it's not nitan l'mechila. So Rabbi Kivager says, okay, that's true mitzad ma'isa vera. But mitzad lo gara migazla, there could be mechila. Right? Moreover, third, chomesh, how do you assess the chomesh? The chomesh depends on the lower price or the higher price. If the only reason for the higher price is the gezel part, but the ma'isa vera, the truma part, is actually the fimida, you can get away with one, then the chomesh should be less. Again, very few words, kadarko, but that's what Rabbi Kivager is saying. He's reading the Gemara Logar Migazel, there are two dinim here. And the only reason that you have to pay kashas hagzela is because of the gezel part. But the gezel part doesn't tell the whole story. Nafkamina, mechila, nafkamina, chomesh, nafkamina. Do you have to actually give back the ve'en according to that amount? The Rashash Alatar takes issue with some of these points in Rabbi Kivager. You could look it up. In general, one could take issue with Rabbi Kivager from the following point of view. Are there really two dinim? Or is that the Chiddush HaTorah of Tashlumei Truma? It's one integrated halacha. Namely, Gezel Truma is a hyphenated Choshem Nishpat Yoredeya halacha. It's all together. Rabbi Kivager assumes that, you know, you could split them apart. That's maybe the Chiddush, that you can't. In which case, not the Chomesh, not the Be'en, right, and not the Mechila, none of these Nafkamina would work. Moreover, is it always true that there is Gzela here? Maybe it's mazik. Is there actually a requirement that you have netilas achefetz mirshus abaylim mederach kinyan? Is that required in achilas truma? Right, the Gemara does say lo gara migazlan, so it sounds like that, right? But what I'm really getting to is when the Gemara says lo gara migazlan, same question of tavar v'shasya. Does the Gemara really mean that there's gzela? That's Rabbi Kivager understood. Otherwise, his comments are not at least so obvious. Why is it gzela? Because kol hagazon mishalem kashas gzela is involved. But maybe there's another way to read the Gemara. The same way that we might read it according to those who believe tavar v'shasi is mazik. Kol hagazon mishalem kashas gzela is not about gzela. Lo gara migazlan isn't mean that he is a gazlan or even that there's an active gzela component here. What it means is there's a rule, and that is kol hagazon mishalem kashas gzela. The shas hamechayiv is koveya leinyan damim, not the shas hatashlumim. That's true whether it's gzela, whether it's mazik, or whether it's a hybrid called achilas truma b'shogeg, maybe even a hybrid which is dominated by the Yoredeya part, not by the Choshem Mishpat part. Rav Belville in his in the Chiddush HaGriz on the Rambam in the back, in one of the letters, so he discusses the question. He says, according to the Mandamar, lefi damim mishale. Does it have to be lemala mishav apruta? in Achilas Truma? That's an interesting question. So he says, well, the truth is that the requirement of, obviously there's one part of this is an issue that we discussed earlier in the year. What is the significance of Shava Pruta? Right, so Belda says, maybe Shava Pruta isn't a shear in Kesef or Shovi per se. Maybe it's a din in Chiyuv Tashlumin. You know, like the Mishnah in Azov that we discussed. Hey, Prutos Hain. One of them is Dvarim Sheyotzim Bidayanim. Right? Chiyuv Tashlumin. We don't bother Chiyuv Tashlumin less than a Pruta. If that's the case, says Ravel, even according to the Mandamar Lefi Damin Mishale, maybe this isn't really Chiyuv Tashlumin. This is Kaparas Achilas Truma. It's not Nitan the Mechila. And what if he's the Bailam himself? He's not needing somebody else's, or the Truma and Biyara Kohen? Right? Of course, one could have said, this is exactly what he's getting at, one could have said the discussion of the Gemara itself, whether the Lefi Mida or Lefi Damim, may be this question. Is this Chiyuv Tashlumin, or is it completely hyphenated or even subsumed predominantly under the Yoredeya part of it, the Achilas Truma B'Shoge? In which case, maybe even Pachas Mipruta. But if that's the case, the opposite of Rabbi Kivei, he doesn't quote Rabbi Kivei. But if that's the case, again, we can understand why exactly we require the Tvua, the Chomesh, etc., no Mechila, the Kapar. He's saying that, basically what he's saying is, maybe there's no Gzela component at all, but what do you do with the Gemara, Kol HaGazlanim, Misham, and Kishas HaGzela? But according to what I'm suggesting, that this is a wider klal, it has to do with the Zman, HaMechayiv, is Koveya, Le'inyan, Kiyama Tashlumin. So then the Gemara is fine. Just one other Mar Makom on this. The Rambam Nichus Truma Perak Yud Halach Chavav. Well, the first is Machlokes whether we paskin Lefi Damim or Lefi Mida. The Raivin himself in Perak Yud Halach Chavav and Halach Chavav thinks that maybe we actually paskin Lefi Mida Mishalim. The Rambam paskins Lefi Damim. That itself is interesting. Both in Halach Chavav and Halach Chavav. But the Rambam has an interesting lashon here, in the end of Perek Yud Halachavav, La'olamenu mishalim lefi damim shahayis hashava b'shas achila bein shehuzla b'shas tashlumin bein shehukra. So the Rambam says, if exactly the case of the Gemara, right? If there's a discrepancy in the price fluctuates from the time of achila till the time of the tashlumin, right? You'll pay kizbizman v'achila. Truth is, it's a pretty innocent statement of the Ravid. The Ravid, for some reason, Omer Avram, v'im huzla b'shas achila lama lo yitein k'shas ha'gzela ma gara mi gazlan. So the truth is, the Rambam is innocent. Just the Rambam's not talking about that case. The Rambam is saying, what if there's three shows? Shas Gzela, Shas Achila, and Shas Tashlumin. What then? Maybe we should say, Kalakazonim Misham Gshas Gzela, Kshas Gzela. That's an interesting question. Just the Rambam wasn't talking about that. So the Kesef Mishnah kind of discusses, will the Rambam be, what will the Rambam say about a case where there is no gzela, there's only achila? It raises the question that I mentioned before. What if there's mazik and no gzela? Let's say, simpler case, there's no, you didn't do the kinyan. Or it remained b'shus sabaylim. So if this halacha, kol ha'gazlanim misham k'shas ha'gzela that is talked about in Psachim, is literally halacha and gzela, and it requires gzela, then the ha'ara of the Ravid, if there's a discrepancy between shas achila and shas gzela, everything depends on shas gzela, even the Tvuas Be'enah chapter. I'm not talking about, oh, there's a separate issue of Gzela here. I'm talking about the, from a Hilchos Truma point of view, the Chomesh, the whole package. So then that would be an interesting question. But for that matter, everything will depend on Shas Gzela more than Shas Achila. But if the rule here really is Kolak Azonim Mishamim Kshasa Gzela is a way of Logarim Migazlim Kolak Azonim Mishamim Kshasa Gzela is a rule. Depends on Shasa Mechayev. So then you have to evaluate. Is it Din of Gzela's Truma? Let's say there's Gzela's Truma and then later there's Achila's Truma. And between them there's a price fluctuation like the Ravid says. Again, I don't think there's a tie-in against the Rambam. Rambam's not talking about the case, but let's say there is that case. What will be said about that case? If the real there are two questions that need to be asked here. If the real mechayev is mazik or achila or maisa achila, let's say it's according to Ravelvel's mentality. If you could have this bepachas mishava pruta, then maybe it isn't really din of gazel at all. It's a din of achilas truma mishogeg. So it should then. If Kolag Hazonim Mishamim Kshasa Gzela is just the Gemara Logara Migazlan, it doesn't mean that this Gzela and therefore there's this rule within Truma. It means we see from Gzela, which this has absolutely nothing substantively to do with, we see a rule of Shasa Mechayiv. Shasa Mechayiv is Shasa Achila. So even when it's Gzela of the Achila, maybe Shasa Achila. Okay, that's all I want to say about Truma. Even though it's a very nice topic. But let's get back to Tavra V'Shasya. The point is, in light of all this, the fact that the Gemara quotes Kol HaGazonim Mishalmim Kshasa Gzela doesn't have to prove that Tavra V'Shasya is a din in Gzela. Again, if it's midin kinyanim or it's midin Gzeres HaKosuv, perhaps it does. But if it's a broader idea of Shasa Chiyuv, which I've tried to prove according to certain perspectives in Truma, then even if Tavra V'Shasya is mazik, it's fine. That's point number one. There is a second point. And that is, just one more second, to point out, just to Ha'ara, the Shakla Vitaria in Bav Metzia as opposed to the Shakla Vitaria in Bava Kama. In Bav Metzia, the Gemara invokes Kol HaGazonim Mishalmim Kshasa Gzela, right, as consistent with Rabbah's rule of Tavra V'Shasya. Right? That's how it reads there. Mara says, if the price goes up and it's not Ibar Mimela but Tavra V'Shasya, what's the halacha? V'Shalim Dalet, Ibar Mimela V'Shalim Tzuzi Mai Taima, Kivin Yisa Hadra Lamara Be'ene, Hayishayta de Kashasya Katavar Kagaza, it's not Chala Gazana Misham and Kashasa Gzeh. It's interesting to compare that to our Gemara. What do I mean by that? Eric. What do I mean by it's interesting to compare to our Gemara? At least initially. Why? How does Tavra V'Shasya get introduced into our Gemara? Exactly. Tavra V'Shasya is introduced in our Sugya as a pircha against Rabbah. Rav said, Karen Kshen Shaganav. You have the Gemara in front of you, just very quickly. Again, I'm sorry we're racing, but we do want to get this in. Rav said what he said, Karen Kshen Shaganav. Then the Gemara challenges him from several brises. Right? We already discussed on a Patimna and Malikatala. Good. One of them is, go ahead, Aaron, quickly. So the Gemara says, Lema de Pligi. The Gemara thinks that Rabba's Psak and Rav's rule are steer to each other. That's exactly the opposite of the Gemara Namafkid. Right? Where we explain Rabba by invoking Kol HaGazonim. I'm assuming for the moment the assumption that all Rishonim except for the Tosis Rid accept, which is that kol hagazalim mishalim kishasa gzela and keren kein shaganav are hainuach. Of course, according to the Tosas Rid, this is not a question. We're talking about two different rules, one of which it's in compliance, and the other one of which it's not in compliance. Right? So according to the Tosas Rid, there's no discrepancy at all, maybe that's an advantage for the Tosas Rid, between a mafkid, aside from just being a terrific, fascinating shita, but he also doesn't have the problem of hamafkid versus a meruba. But for everybody else who holds that kol hagazlanim and rav, keren kein shaganav hainuach, it's at least noteworthy that the flow of the shaklavataria is opposite in both cases. Our Gemara sees it as a stira. The Gemara in Hamafkid sees it as consistent. That in itself is fascinating. So the Gemara in Hamafkid, it's easy to say because the Tavar v'Shasya is an act of Gzela. Right? But if we're talking about a Tavar v'Shasya which is not Gzela, let's say, but either Mazik. That's basically what the Gemara is saying is as follows. Tavar v'Shasya is not Gzela. And yet, we go Basar, Shas, Tavar v'Shasya. Meaning we're not going Basar, Zman HaGzela. How could that be? That's against Rav. Right? So the Gemara answers. What's the Gemara's answer? Sounds like the Gemara is continuing to say that it's not exactly, it's an exception. Yeah, in Ochanami, Rav doesn't apply when the value went up. The Gemara, if the Gemara was rejecting, it could have said, Rabba is the best example of Keren Kein Shagana. So this Gemara, Kipshuto, sounds like, and also this Gemara doesn't invoke the language of Gezela. It doesn't say Nimsa, Kagazal, either. So if you just had two Gemaras just working on impression alone and you didn't have to square them, you'd think Hamafkid is a reflection of Tavar v'Shasya Gzela, whereas our Sugya is not. Except there's one problem with that, just one second, and that is, if we're dealing with Mazik, not so simple either, because it isn't really an exception. What do you mean? Rav says Halacha Yukur V'Zula. The real answer, even if we give the answer of, again, let me step back. If the answer is Tavar v'Shasya is itself an independent Gzela, right? Then there's no question to begin with, and the Gemara's answer should have been different as well. That I think we're clear about. If Tavar v'Shasya is Mazik, so the Gemara is not as bad, but it's still not good. Why? Because it isn't an exception to the rule of Keren Kein Shaganav. It's just based on an overriding consideration, get back to Joe's comment of before, namely, in addition to Gzela, you have Mazik, and if you have two Mechayvim, you have the right to choose, you're not going to overlap them, but you can choose the Chomer Shebishneyam. That is still is not an exception to the rule. Keren is still Kein Shaganav. You're really Chayiv on Gzela, only one. You pay four. Not because it's an exception to the rule, not because you're not chayiv only one for gzela. You're paying four because you also did mazik, and therefore you should pay not five, but the higher of either one or four. So the Gemara is still peculiar. However, maybe this Gemara then points to another possibility. Namely, see? What do you mean? Okay, but I would say that, I think I know what you're saying, you'll tell me if I'm wrong. Whether I would say that is, the Gemara understood, maybe, that Tavar v'Shasya is Gzela, because we want to have a cake and eat it too, but it's an extension of the Gzela, which I think is what you mean by, and therefore what the Gemara is saying is, but if you have an extended, you always have an extended Gzela. When I hold on to a be'en and I don't return it, isn't that an extended gzela? And yet we say the moment of ma'isa otzam rishus habaylim is the critical moment. For reasons of kinyanim, for reasons of the ma'isa veira. That's the rule of Rav. If that's the rule of Rav, so this is an exception. Ah, you'll say he's paying for destroying the possibility of Hashava, and that's an aspect of Gzela. Right, but we know that in the world of Gzela, you pay for the first moment, you pay for the Maisa, you pay from the Tchilas HaKinyan. That's the whole idea of Rav. The answer is, no, there's an exception. The idea of Rav, that when there's an extended Gzela, you will only pay for the first moment, that's only when it goes down. Not when it goes up. If you read the Gemara that way, it's not without any problems either, but it's the best way, I think, to read the Gemara. So then, it really is an exception. The reason it's still not perfect is it's an exception because Tavra Vashasya is more than your typical higher price at a later point, presumably. But maybe if we view it as an extension, second phase, destruction of the Hashava, maybe it works out fine. So I think there are three ways to read the Gemara. Just to sum up for a second. The reading of Hamafgid works well if Tavrashas is an independent Gzela. The reading of our Sugya doesn't work well with that at all, because it sounds like it's a Pircha. If we explain Midin Mazik, it's better, but it's still a problem. That's not an exception to Gzela. It just means that there's something additional which impacts beyond Gzela here. The best way to read our Gemara is Rav's Halacha is based on the first moment, the Rishus Bailim, the Kinyan, the Maisa, Shlav Aleph. Here's another case of Shlav Aleph and Shlav Beis. This is an extension of Gzela. B'tor extension of the Gzela, it's an exception to the rule. The answer is we reevaluate the rule. Right. I mean, Kol Gazon and Mishamik Shas Gzela goes on the other case?
The beginning part of the sentence.
That's on the book. I didn't see. I don't. Are you sure about that? Read again. You have it open?
No.
I have it. Just one second. Okay, that would be interesting. What I still said, I think what I said still stands, certainly can stand for the Chiddush Aran. We have to check the Chiddush Arans, but they also say Mazik. I mean, you're trying to say that he neutralizes that Mazik, it's not the Chi of Mazik about which we say Kol Gazon Mishamik Shas Gzela. One second. Here. Hadr Mara Be'ina. Dim Isa Ba'olam Isa Chazeres Be'en. One second. I mean, I don't know if this is Pshat in the Gemara. He says, the Chiyar Mina Kol HaGazon V'Shamas K'sas Zela. No, I don't think that's what you're referring to? No, I don't. No. I mean, he's just explaining that doesn't Kol HaGazon V'Shamas Gzela prove that the Yoker takes place in the Rishus of the Gazlin? His answer is no. Only if there's no ban. Avnisa ban, Bein Shukra, Bein Shuhutla, Chozeres Kamo Shehi. And then he adds later, Aval I Tavra, O Shasya, Kivna Yishaita, Udamazika, Mishalim Dalit. He is saying, he's using that line to, but that's true. Right? But I don't think that that's the way he's reading the line in the Gemara. I think he's asking a question. Don't we see from Kol HaGazlanim that whatever happens to the Chepetz happens to the Gazlan? The answer is, We don't see that at all. We only see that in a ban. We don't see that when there's no ban. But that doesn't explain the line in the Gemara, which is that Tavra B'Shasya itself is Kol HaGazon HaMisham HaKishas HaGzeila. Sorry? Yeah, he just quotes it as an earlier question before he gets into the Mazik point. Here. Again, I don't want to spend too much time because I don't have much time right now, but I'll just read it one more time. This is Tzchaf Hei Amin Aleph in the Da Pei Arif. Dim Yisa Ba'ol, he's explaining Hadra L'mara Be'enei. The Chavitz goes back. Right? Meaning it's in the Rishus of the Nigzal. Dim Yisa Ba'olam Ha'isa Chazeres Be'en. The Chiyam read on Kol HaGazonim Mishalim Kishas HaGzeila. It says Mekavim Tomer. Aye, don't we see from Kol HaGazonim Mishalim Kishas HaGzeila that isn't true? The answer is Hainu Hechid Alei Sabola. Aval Isa Be'en Bein Hukra Bein Huzla Chozeres Kamo Shehi B'hochi Hukasa Kirava Dilin in Yukra I Itbar Mimele Mishalim Zuzu Kinemikara. No, I'm just saying, but then he says Aval Itavra Oshasya Kivna his shaisa the mazik levi adayim. That's also kol hagazonim misham kishas. That's what the Gemara says. I'm just saying you still have to read the line in the Gemara. He's not reading that. This what he says earlier is not his explanation of the Gemara because line of kol hagazonim misham kishas exela. It's the principle of kol hagazonim. Doesn't that prove something about what we're saying is wrong? Namely that the gazlan is the bailim and not the nigzal. The answer is no. It doesn't mean that at all. That's only limited to that. That's how. Okay. Anyways. Okay, let's get back to. Now let's go to substance. Okay. Yeah. So far we've discussed the language and the invoking of Kol HaGazonim. Yeah.
In Beis Zion of this game, one of the rabbis says that the fee of the Zikin is like touch limit in general. Mm-hmm. That's what Rabbi was saying. I mean, that even the fee of the Zikin in general is just like a regular fee of touch limit.
Right.
So maybe in the context of Geneva, I can still take the.
I think it works well. Although I think in the case of the Rambam, Tavra Shasya, certainly for Chaim's right, you don't need it for Tavra Shasya, but I think in general you're right. Okay, let's go to the substance. Now the classical case of Tavra Shasya includes two prominent, I would say, characteristics. And I think the issue really is which of these two is really responsible for the din. Again, one is mazik, the utter destruction of the chayfetz. Right? When we imagine tavra and shasya, that's what we think of. Right? Mazik. At the same time, what takes place here is a destruction of the end and a preclusion of any future hashava. So the question is, which of these two, the preclusion of hashava, which is a gezel halacha, or the utter destruction, which is mazik, which of these two is crucial? So if we could find cases where one exists without the other, that would be very helpful. And fortunately, we have such cases. At least two such cases. One is Mechira, and the other is Shinui Konev. Mechira, let's say Yush and Shinui Rishus in particular, right? So there's no longer any Hashavas HaBe'en. Would that qualify as Tavra V'Shasya? It doesn't look like Tavra V'Shasya. But if Tavra V'Shasya's significance is in precluding the Hashava, and therefore it's an act of Gzela or a secondary act of Gzela, then why not? Okay. Shinui Kona likewise. Right? It doesn't have to be an act at all. It could be something that happens in Mimela. And either way, it doesn't have to be an act of Hezek, even if it is an act. But the result of Shinui Kona, again, is to neutralize Chovas Hashav. That's what Tavra V'Shasya is about. It should qualify. Tavra V'Shasya is about Mazik. Presumably it should not qualify. So what about Mechira? There's no Gemara that's explicit about it, but there are Rishonim. Rashi on Samachei Yom Aleph, in the context of Tavra V'Shasya, it seems to say clearly that Mechira is Tavra V'Shasya. The Rambam as well. In Hilchos Geneva, Perek Aleph Halacha Yadalid. Right? Had that already. im shachat o machar o shavar o ibdo mishalim tashum kefel or dal vehek shasam ad bedin. That's a case of tabra v'shasya, and includes mechira. So Rashi and the Rambam include mechira. The Rambam likewise in Perek Gimel Hilchos Gzela Halacha Aleph, I think. Okay. Hagozo chavetz yayin b'chaver v'arushav dinar b'shas gzela v'hukra etzlov amda b'dalid im shivar sachavis o shas osa o machra o nasne v'batana achashukra mishalim dalid kashas o tzomina olam shilu inicha isa chazeres v'atzma nishma meleha o avda mishalim dinar kashas. That's the Rambam's halach of tavar v'shasya itbar. It's even clearer in Gimel Aleph than it is Aleph Yudalid. Aleph Yudalid is confused by the whole Kefal Dalid Hey application. Okay, so either way, the Rambam applies, as Rashi does, Tavar Vashasya to Mechira. Rabbeinu Peretz, in one daya, again in the old ones, it's 227 column 2, rejects it, precluding Hashava does, as an act of Mazik, it's lacking. Maybe this is exactly the issue in the Machlokas. Shinoi is even more explicit debate. So now we already saw the rush. If I had the time, I'd read it over, because I think there are some important lines to read over again. Although Yoshua did a good job the first time. Where is Yoshua? No, Yoshua Koenig. Oh, okay. He read the, am I right? Did he read the rush? I thought he read the rush. Yeah. Yoshua also did a good job, but he read other things. The rush per tes simin gimel tells about the comments on the Eyom and Aleph. Right, seem to be arguing about this point, possibly about this point as well. Right, the rush originally, when he wanted to explain the chiyuv, you know, depending on the later moment, the shas shinui. So he explained that Shinui is the equivalent of Tavar V'shasya. Sounds like the rush was of the opinion at that point that Shinui is an independent act of Gneva, like Tavar V'shasya may be, and creates its own Shas Chiyuv for that reason. So the rule of Kol HaGazon HaMishalim and Kashas HaGzela would depend on the moment before the Shinui, not the moment of the Gzela. Because that's Tavar V'shasya, that is Gzela in its own right. He even emphasizes, after all, there will not be Hashabas Habe'en after this point. The Maskana, the rush, is that Shinui is not comparable to Tavar V'shasya. So the question then becomes, which part of the equation is he rejecting? Is the issue primarily a Tavar V'shasya issue? And the Rosh changed his mind. He said, listen, only Tavar V'shasya, which is Mazik, is Mechayev separately. But Shinui, even if it is an extension of the Gzela, but extended Gzela, or secondary, or even its second independent Gzela, we still say Kol HaGazlonim Mishalmim Kishas HaGzela HaRishona. Tavar V'shasya Shaini, it's a whole different story. It's not a continuation. It's not an independent Gzela. It's not a continuation Gzela. It's a whole different category in the Rambam. So that you're chayiv for separately. But even if Shinui is viewed as a form of continuation or even independent Gzela, you're still not going to say Kishas HaShinui. So then the debate would center around how you understand Tavar V'shasya. Tavar V'shasya is Mazik, Shinui doesn't qualify. Or, maybe the Rosh doesn't go so far. Maybe what the Rosh is saying is, listen, Tavar V'shasya, you're right about Tavar V'shasya. It's because of precluding the Hashava, but the way Tavar V'shasya works is that it's an independent Maisig Zela. After all, there's an act. It's an act that relates to the totality of the whole chefetz. Shinui the result is that there's no hashava, but it's not viewed as an act of gezel. Or if it is viewed as an act of gezel, at least it's a continuation, not an independent act of gezel. Either of those would be sufficient to explain that kol hagazonim mishalmin kishasa gzela goes to the original gzela and not to the second stage. So the difference between Tavra v'shasya and Shinui is not so much based on... It's either based on an understanding of Tavra v'shasya, but not as mazik, but as independent gzela as opposed to continuation gzela. Or the real debate is about Shinui, whether Shinui is viewed as independent gzela or as continuation gzela, or not even as continuation gzela, but as creating a reality in which there's no hashava, but it's not viewed as an act of gzela at all. Yeah.
Maybe the difference is a bit smaller based on the thing that the time makes in the rush.
Yeah.
How tamed off by Jesus, by Parash Yalka, whereas the Mela.
Right. So maybe there's a difference in that. Maybe that's part of the issue as well. Whether or not you need a Maisa, or it can be something that's Vami Mela, may be part of this point as well. In other words, for Shina Kona to be viewed as any kind of Maisa Gzela, rather than just as, you know, being the catalyst for the reality that there's no longer a Hashava, because Im Kein Shigazel Yachzir Lav Damim Bai Shlumi, if it's going to be any kind of Maisa Gzela beyond that, there has to be a Maisa. Right? If it's going to happen Mimela, then that's not going to work. But even if it is a Maisa, it still might be viewed as more of a continuation, whereas Tavra v'Shasya might be a second independent, within the framework of, but a second independent sale. I agree. Yeah.
With regard to Mechira and Shemekona, both, one could understand that even if it were a Zela, in the event that the Yechev is not in the Bailam's Rishos anymore, the only way you can do a Zela,
it's
dramatic enough that it has to be actually the destruction of the end, otherwise it's right. Not dramatic enough to.
Right. You just have to explain, again, along the lines of what Svi just said, which is that it's not, we're not going to define Gzela then, just in terms of the reality, or in this case, even the initiative of precluding Hashava. That's part of the definition, that's not the total definition. There has to be some sort of a dramatic Maisa Gzela in addition, so what Noah's saying is correct, and it's a good corrective, which is what I was saying before, works in one direction. In one direction only. In other words, if Tavra v'Shasya is mazik, so we're not going to apply it to Shinui, not Shinui Mela, not even Shinui B'Adayim probably, we're certainly not going to apply it to Mechira. But if Tavra v'Shasya is Gezela, right, it could be that we would still reject either Mechira or Shinui, you'd have to look at each one separately, because we might say, even if it's Gezela, is it initiating the preclusion of Hashava that causes it, or is there still something more of a Maisa that is required? And where do you draw the line in that Maisa? Right? Is it initiative? Is it some change in the Chayfetz? Is it destruction of the Chayfetz, or the total Chayfetz? I agree. I think that this is a very important qualification, which gives greater flexibility even for the Rishonim who would disagree. Okay. So these cases are cases which fall short, just one more second, from the perspective of Mazik, and we're trying to figure out what is it about Hashava, the reality, the Maisa, the total Chayfet, where do you draw the line in the Hashava part of it to qualify it as Gezela. Now we're going to turn our attention, just a second after I answer Ali Chai's question, to a slightly different issue. And that is, let's say the problem isn't from a this doesn't qualify as mazik perspective. Let's say the problem is it shouldn't qualify as gneva or gzela perspective. And yet we say it, will that show the opposite? Question first.
Okay, I think the Rosh sounds that he still thinks it's within gzela, but he doesn't exactly quote what it
is.
He says,
I think there are conflicting lines. That's why I said before, I would have liked to read the Rosh. I agree with you. There are, I think, conflicting lines, though. Sometimes he seems to be emphasizing Tavra v'Shasya and the need for utter destructions. Other times he seems to be focusing on the deficiency of Shinui Kona as being insufficient. Right. But that's one of the lines that I'm referring to. I think we have to, again, I just apologize for running, but yeah, absolutely. Different lines in the Rush itself, I think, point either to the insufficiency of Shinui or to the higher demand, even Mazik character. Of Tavra v'Shasya. I totally agree. Okay. Let's move to Gonev, the issue of what did I just say? So far we focused on insufficient or deficient maziks. Now let's focus on challenging or problematic gnevas and gzelas. Okay. So how do we get that? How do we find that? If there's some rule that would seem to eliminate or neutralize gzela, and yet we have tavra v'shasi. Okay, what could that be? There could be two, broadly speaking, maybe more, two types of cases that we should look at. One, of course, is kavlei b'drabamine. The other is gonev acharagan. But of course, in both cases, we confront those applications themselves. Right? Rarely are things so simple, this being no exception. When it comes to kavlei b'drabamine, we're also going to have to discuss an issue which we've already registered, and that is, to what extent does kavlei b'drabamine affect phase one? Right, and going for the range of saying it just affects the chiyuv hatashlumin or the kiyum hatashlumin. That's one extreme. There might even be a chiyuv latzei sidei shamayim. There's a ma'is avera. There are kinyane gzela. There's a chiyuv gzela. All kavlei b'drabamine would do, and there was a coincidence of the Chiyuv Misa and the Chiyuv Gneva, all it would tell you was there's no implementation by Beis Din of the Kiyum HaTashlumin. That's pretty innocuous. But the other extreme would be what I call the eclipsing theory of Kamalei B'Drabamine, right? Not just a question of applying, carrying forward, or carrying forward even some aspects. Talk about eclipsing, the question is where to draw the line. When you do a capital offense coupled with or integrated with a financial loss, the financial loss is completely eclipsed, insignificant. It's ki'ilu, it didn't happen. The heinous crime wipes out any legal status of the financial crime. He murdered the village, you know, the people in the village, and he also took a shavapruta from one of the people, you know, at the same time. It's almost obscene, you know, to say it. And if it was $1 million, it would still be obscene to say it. Right? Because the heinous crime eclipses it. So is that just in terms of formulation, political correctness? Or is that also in terms of the legalities? I mean, LPD, that's what kamlei b'drabamine means. It means when you're a murderer, or your Mechal Shabbos, or your Ovid, Avodah Zarah, or whatever the case may be, so if the same Maisa also included a monetary aspect, it's completely overwhelmed by it, according to that. So then, you know, the impact may be huge, but then there's no framework of Geneva either. Within that range of the where the extremes are, there's not even a Maisa, Geneva, or there is even chiyuv tashlumin to snokiyim tashlumin. You can obviously draw the line along the way. There is a maisa gzela, maybe no kinyanim. There are kinyanim, maybe there are no chiyuvim. All of this needs to be weighed for kamlei b'drabamine. We'll get back to it in a minute. That's the wild card in kamlei b'drabamine. Likewise, if we talk about ein agonei v'achar, about the p'tur of Gonev Achar Ganav, so there are a lot of questions. They are, is Gonev Achar Ganav just a p'tur kefel? Or does it really affect the Geneva? And even if it affects the Geneva, it means there's no Maisa Geneva, or just no Tashlumim. Maybe even of the Karen, but still it's a din in Tashlumim. That's how much of a hafka is gonev achar ganav. Third question, when we say gonev achar ganav is patur, and even if we felt that that had great scope, or significant scope, does it apply across the board? Does it mean that any time after the first act of gneva, a chevetz cannot be stolen twice, or a chevetz cannot be stolen if it's physically outside of the reshus of the bailim? Or does it refer to something more specific, like you can't do a duplication gneva, but were you to do some other dimension, added dimension of the gneva, why not? Okay, so these are three questions about Gonev HaGonev, legitimate questions. So the issue of Gonev HaGonev, let's take up first. That's, of course, the one that was made famous by the Achronim. Gonev HaGonev, if we take the view that it eliminates a subsequent Gneva or Gezela, so how do we explain Tavar v'Shasya? You already stole the Chayfetz, and nonetheless, here you are. Chayef for Tavar v'Shasya. That's the problem. So the background to all of this is the Rivash and the Rambam, who say what exactly? Michael, see it? Simon Lamedon? Okay, Michael?
The Yad Rama wants to know what's the difference.
Not the Yad Rama.
Sorry, the Rivash and the
Rama.
Rama, I'm sorry. Never mind.
The Shulchan Aruch Rama.
The Rama.
You're talking about the Rama and Sanhedrin?
Yeah.
I'll get that. Hopefully, I'll get that in a few minutes. But let's talk about the. I'm talking about Gonev HaGonev. That's not about Gonev HaGonev. That's about Kamlet Rav. So, Shlomo? You see it? Yeshua? Porto? No one saw the Ksos and the Nesivis and the. What?
Pretty far down in the verse.
Yeah. Why haven't we been.
I don't even know.
Wow. Either way, I have to talk about it because I have to get past it. Yosef? Yeah. The Rivash, it's really the first one is the Chuvas HaRivash. What's the Chuvas HaRivash say that the Rama quotes? Cholek HaMaganav is going to be in Apostle Eidos, and the question is why? So who asked the question why? Tumim. After all, and that's called? No, he wouldn't want to say that's called Gonev HaGonev because that would undermine his argument. It's called Gzela for what? Based on what? It's called Kofar B'Kadon. Right? It's very fascinating. The Tumim invokes Kofar B'Kadon. Why does he invoke Kofar B'Kadon particularly? Because he wants to show that there is Gzela B'Teiros Aliyado. So the Tumim says there's Gzela B'Teiros Aliyado. We know that from Kofar B'Kadon. So just because the Cholek HaMaganav is Beter Asal Yado, he didn't steal it, he should still be Pasal Yedos. Kofar Pikadon is Pasal Yedos. There's no Ishtamut Ekam Ishtamet. It's Pasal Yedos. So why is the Cholek HaMaganav any different than a Kofar Pikadon? And the Tumim says, I think it's wrong. The Tumim says, what about Gonev Yosef? What about Gonev Minaganav? He says, you'll say to me, Gonev Minaganav is Patur, and that's why Cholek HaMaganav is not Pasal Yedos. I have an answer to that too. What's the answer? Anybody? Jonathan? Gonev Minaganav, says the Tumim. Doesn't quote the Rambam, but maybe based on the Rambam, is limited to Patur Kefil. But you should be Chayiv the Karen. It's very fascinating that you have these categories. Gonev Minaganav, right? If you're a strict constructionist, you could say there's no such thing as Gneva or Gezela beyond that first Maisa, beyond Rishus HaBailim. Nothing. Right? On the other hand, Kofar B'Kadon, Betei Rasa Yada, why not? So you have to navigate between these categories. So the Tumim is saying, Gonev Minaganav, I can neutralize that. It's not what you think. It's just a Ptur Kefil. If you're talking about Karen, for Psul Eidos, do we care about Kefil? Certainly not. As long as there's a Chi of Karen, that's enough. Right? So, Gonev Minaganav is irrelevant here, says the Tumim. What is relevant is kofar pikado, betera soliado. So he's assuming that if there's no obstacle of gonav min haganav, then kofar pikado can run roughshod over everything. Cholik min haganav isn't exactly the same as kofar pikado. Right? Cholik min haganav looks like there's nothing new, no new maisa even. Not a stage two. Oyvei, it's after stage one. Nothing. He's just continuing the original act of Geneva. The Tumim says, I don't care. He doesn't say, I don't care. He says, right? Gonev min haganav, which is the only reason to think that that first moment is magical, is a din keifa. That's it. So everything else is like kofar pikadon, so cholek min haganav is pasul yedus. That's the psak of the Tumim. However, the Ksos disagrees. But the Ksos goes in the exact opposite extreme. Ksos says, listen, gonev min haganav. Gonev min haganav. You can see him trembling as he's, you know, quoting the Mishnah. Our Mishnah. So, of course, that's that excludes anything beyond that first moment. Indeed, we explained, we already quoted this Ksos earlier, we were talking about Idbar Mimela. And why is Idbar Mimela Mishas Gzela? Oren? Porting Ksos? Because that's anything beyond that first moment you can never be Mechayev for. In a Gona Bachar Ganav Mishalim. Take out the word Kefa. Right? So basically, the Ksos is the exact opposite. The Tumim made Ein Gonev Achar Ganev neutralized completely. The Ksos built up Gonev Min Haganev so that it encompasses everything. Except for that, anything beyond the first moment, first Maisa, no such thing as a continuation, Geneva, Gezela. That's the Ksos. Except that, so how do you explain, Kofar Pikadon? Not so terrible. Kofar Pikadon is not really a problem. Kofar Pikadon, there wasn't a previous Gezela or Geneva. The only reason the Tumim quoted it was to prove that you don't need, that you could have it Bete Ras Eliado. The Ksos's problem isn't Bete Ras Eliado. Ksos's problem is there's already been a Geneva. Tavra Vashasya, there's already been a Geneva. But Tavra Vashasya is a problem. How can you have anything after that original Geneva? What's the answer to the Ksos? Mazik. The Ksos is the one. You know, people didn't notice the Nemuka Yosef and the Chidush Aran. You know, the Ksos put Mazik and Tavra Vashasya on the map. So that's the Ksos. An expansive view of Ein Gonev Achar Haganav leads him to the conclusion that. So what about Cholek HaMaganav then? Well, Cholek HaMaganav is not Tavra Vashasya, there's no Mazik, and it's not Kofar B'Pikadon. So what is it? Gonev min haganav, and he's kosher li'edus. Okay, that's the Ksos. The Nesivos takes a third view. What's the Nesivos' view? Yoni? Oh. He says, listen, we don't have to be as extreme as either the Ksos or the Tumim. We don't have to deny Gonev min haganav, and we don't have to expand Gonev min haganav. Gonev min haganav has a very specific meaning. It means that if you repeat or duplicate Gneva on the same Chayfetz, you're not Chayev, Kefa, and you're not Chayev Karen. And according to the Nesivos, it would seem you wouldn't be Chayev Gzela either. Let's remember that the Tosas Rid had a Shita, right, to explain Rabbah on Kufyat Aleph on the base, right, Ratzim Mizegov or Ratzim Mizegov, to be Mechalik between Gneva and Gzela. There's no Gneva. That's not the same as saying there's no keifa. It might end up practically the same. Right? But conceptually, it's different. The chiluk isn't keifa and keren, the chiluk is gneva and gzeva. Fine. The Nesivos says, no. There is ein gneva achar gneva, ein gzeva achar gzeva. The rule is, a repeat performance doesn't count. But if it's not a repeat performance, but it's a new phase, it's an enhanced gzeva, that's gzeva. And that's what Tavra Vashasya is. Kof Pikadon, again, is not a problem. That's just an issue of Betero Soliado. That's what Tavra Vashasya is. Chalik Maganov, the Rivash is right. It's nothing. He didn't do anything to the Ben. The Ben is still intact. It's not stage two. It's not even a repeat of stage one, actually. It's a continuation of stage one without any enhancement. So cholik and agadav is not a problem. But tamra v'shasya is gzela, and it doesn't defy the rule of ein gonev or ein gozel achar agadav. Why? Because what makes it gzela? The removal of the chiyuv hashava. That is the view of the Nesivos. The Nesivos' chiddush is that would also be true not only for Tavra v'Shasya but for regular Shinui Kona. He likes that Havamina of the Rosh. And even for Shinui Kona de Mimela, not just for Shinui Kona the Maisa. Moreover, and this is what I wanted to look at the Nesivos again for Tamura. When the way that the Nesivos reads Tamura, Bava Min Aleph, I'll give away the secret now, is not the way we read it. We read Tamura, Bava Min Aleph, we said there are two ways to read it. Right? Either Kala Gazlanim is Kinyan Egzela, Tamura, Bava Min Aleph, or the fact that there is Shinui Kona proves that there already are Kinyan Egzela. Otherwise, Shinui Kona couldn't work without that foundation. No. Nesivos says, Shinui Kona is a kinyan, and it is an act of gzela. That is the kol ma da'omer achmana lo sabid yabid mahani. Shinui kone's act of gzela is it. A third way to read the Gemara. That's how he reads the Gemara in Tamura. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure this is what you're saying, but the well, Chris said that it's not a violation of Gonim Meganas, since it's not really. What we say, what's the definitive act with regards to this gezel, which is an extended gezel problem from the beginning of the Kifas of our show. So
right.
The definitive act in that case would be sort of an amplification of the amplification which occurred with the Tavra Shasi. That's what's going to be defined as the gezel, but it doesn't mean it's a separate gezel.
He says it's a separate gezel.
You
don't have to say that. I've said before. I was suggesting to read the Gemara, and the way we were suggesting even to read the objection of the Rosh might be that it's not an independent gzela, but it's a continuation of the gzela.
Right.
It's stage two. The Nesivos doesn't interpret that way. He sees it as an independent gzela because it's focusing on a different component.
That's
what makes the Nesivos different. And that's why it's striking that he reads the Gemara. That's why I'm emphasizing that he reads the Gemara in Tamura that way. Because if you felt that Shinui Kona was just an extension, you don't have to read the Gemara in Tamura that way either. You could read the Gemara in Tamura Kipshuto, which is the Iyavad Mahani goes on the original Gezela, the Haraya Shinui Kona, right? As opposed to saying what he says, which is the Shinui Kona is the Gezela, which is a Kinyan in its own right, and that's what the Gemara in Tamura means. So what you're saying is true. We've already said that. That is a possibility in,
right,
and we're going to demonstrate it more fully now. But indeed, we already have that in both in the reading of the Gemara, our Gemara about Rabba and Rav on Mem Gimel and Aleph, as well as in an explanation of some of the lines in the Rosh on Tes Gimel Lamaskara. I agree, but we'll see it more fully in a moment.
Okay,
yeah.
The point is that
but it's not
the question of Rav doesn't arrive.
Yeah, I understand. Okay. So let's just discuss two other issues now. Again, we don't finish this completely, so I may take, the first half hour of either the transatlantic shiur, if we're able to do it, or the shiur when I come back. If I'm not, I may just take half an hour to finish this up, because it's very important, about the relationship between Mazik and Geneva. But let me at least try for another 10 minutes, 15 minutes to finish up some of the things. And again, those of you who aren't able to be prepared, but make sure you read these Mekoros inside, because they're really, it's a major topic and it's very important. And in fact, the Yesodos here are very, very important. Okay. So far we discussed Gonev Achar Ganav. Another issue. Does Tavra V'Shasya create its own Kefel or Dalet V'Heh? We discussed this a little bit in a different context, right? We discussed about Chiyuv Tvicho Mechira. Well, the Chiyuv Tvicho Mechira extends from Geneva, extends from Kefel, right? Is a separate Tanai, had nothing to do with it, or the opposite, It has to be in one fell swoop, Gneva, Kefel, Vital, Behet. Indeed, I think it's possible to be Mechalek between Tavra Vashasya on the one hand, and specifically Tvicho Mechira, the fact that it pays Knas Dal Behet might give it an added stature of a kind of additional, either stage two or independent, Gneva Ugezela. And I even suggested that for Rashi, it might be helpful to say such a thing, because Rashi and Samech Chesed and Beis, there are more than one way to explain it, but one way to explain it against the Pnei Yeshua's question is to say Tarav Shasya is the passive, is the Tzvicha Mechira is the package deal. And yet, I don't think that Rashi holds on our sugya and Samech Chesed and Beis that Tarav Shasya generally generates its own Kefa. So having said that, let's look at this from a Tavra V'Shasya standpoint. Does Tavra V'Shasya alone create its own Kefel Bala Behet? The issue here goes beyond Gzela. The issue here relates now to Gneva. The Tavra V'Shasya could be Mazik is one thing. That it could also be Gzela in some form, independent or continuous, second. That it could be Gneva or a continuation of Gneva, that of course is particularly intriguing. In light of the idea that Gneva is Otsom Rishus HaBaylin, and because it will really provide us the opportunity to, you know, to isolate factors that are just inconsistent completely with Mazik, namely Kefel and Dalet V'Hei. So the truth is, one could have said Tavra Shasya, second stage or independent, it's Gzela, but even in the context of Gneva, it's only Gzela, and that's the reason why it doesn't create Kefel Dalet V'Hei. Not because it's Mazik, but because it just can't be Gneva. Same reason that Tosfos Rid thought Ein Gonev Achar Ganav is limited to Gneva. So too, the status of Tavra Shasya could be Gezel and not Gneva. But if we find that it actually does have the properties of Gneva, that will be really, really the most ambitious so far. Okay. So this, of course, is something that we find in the sugya in Ksuvah Staf Lama Dalid Omid Beis. Now the case is there the case there in Ksuvah is what? Don't say?
Where you steal an
animal
on the Shabbat or
Shabbat. Yeah. There are two cases. The Gemara has here Hoyagdi Ganuvlo Utvacho B'Shabbos. So the first case is the Gneva takes place on Chol and the Tvicha is on Shabbos. Gemara says Chayiv Shekvar Neskayiv B'Gneva Kodim Shabbat V'Isa Shabbos. And this according to the Mandamar who holds that Kamed Rabbi it doesn't apply to Knossos. But Gonav Tavach B'Shabbos, that's what you're referring to. That's Patur. And here's where the Gemara uses the expression Shemein Gneva Ein Tvicha Mechira. As we already mentioned, the Re in the context of Tlekan Mikar Dam Kenahashta considerably expands that idea. Right? It's one thing to say that if there's no if there's Kamli B'Drabba Minei and the Gneva part of the same Maisa isn't Chalva, and the Kefal part isn't Chalva, the Hay isn't Chal. It's quite something else to say that if there's a time lapse, you know, between the Gneva and the Tvicho Mechira, that the Chepetz is defined by the Chepetz Bisman Gneva, not by Tvicho Mechira, main Gneva in Tvicho. So it's always important when you see a phrase like that to know its origin and to determine whether or not, you know, it's being taken, you know, way beyond. And for the Re it is. The Re is basically saying a concept, and that is that Gneva isn't just the framework of, it is also part of the Mechayiv of Tvicha u'Mechira. But the Gemara doesn't use it that way. The Gemara has the case of Tvicha u'Mechira u'Gneva hakol nasa b'Shabbos. What the Gemara doesn't have, so the Gemara has it by Shabbos, then the Gemara has it by Machteres, and then the Gemara says we need both of these limudim. Because one would have thought that maybe the Ptur Utsricha, the Yashmin and Shabbos Mishun Yisur Yisur Olam, Ava Machteres Yisur Shah Eimalo, Yashmin and Machteres, Mishun the Machteres Zu Yasur also, Ava Shabbos the Boy Yasur Eimalo, Tzricha. Okay. So based on this is the Gemara, that there is Kamele Bidraba Minei. Kamele Bidraba Minei, if he's no, not going to be a Tashlumin of Gimel and Dalid, only of Dalid Vehei, and Ein Gneva, Ein Tvicha Mechira, that will apply to Kamele Bidraba Minei, even if the Kamele Bidraba Minei is relatively innocuous. Even if Kamele Bidraba Minei only means that Bezin will not implement the Chiyuv, but there really is a Mechayiv, and a Maisa, and a Kinyan, and even a Chiyuv, Latzei Sidei Shemayim, nonetheless. Since we're talking about Gneva, Tvicha, Mechira, one shot, all on Shabbos, Be'iser, and then Gneva and Tvicha, Mechira, Dalad Vehei Omer Achman of Elohim Obadal. That's the case of the Gemara. What the Gemara doesn't discuss is the following case, the opposite of, that's they have the case of Gonav Bechol, the Tavach Umachar B'Shabbos. And they have the case of Gonav Tavach Umachar B'Shabbos. They don't have the case of Gonav B'Shabbos, the Tavach Umachar Bechol. What happens then? Right? So here, if you want to say Imein Gneva, Ein Tvichu Mechira, you have to get back to the Ri. Not exactly, it could still be Mechalek in either direction. The Ri's issue is Yukur Bezula, or actually Tle and Ail. The issue here is the extended impact of Kamle Bidraba Minei and Shas Gneva in the aftermath to Tvicho Mechira. So there are two issues here. How much of Gneva has been eliminated by the Kamle Bidraba Minei? That's issue number one. Number two, the nature of Tavra Vashasya. How much of Gneva do we need in order to say Tavra Vashasya? Oh. So the Ritva and the Ra'ah argue on this point against the Rajba and the Shita Yishana. Again, I would read them inside, but it's too late for that. So if you look at the Shita Kubetzis there in Ksuvas page 308, you'll see the different Shitas. The Ritva and the Ra'ah argue that Tavra Vashasya creates its own Gneva. And therefore, even though the Kamle Bidraba Minei, at least partially, we'll put it this way, I mean, you still need some remnant. If there was no Maisa Gneva, no framework of Gneva at all, you never say Tvicho Mechira. If somebody just comes over to an animal and does Tvicho Mechira without first stealing it, you're not Chayv Dalad Vehei. That's obvious. So at minimum, we have to say that Maisa Gneva there was. That's not eliminated by the Kamle Bidraba. But do we need anything else from it? Do we need any Chiyuv Keren? More to the point, do we need a Chiyuv Kefel? Not necessarily. That's the issue. So the Ra'ah and the Ritva both suggest that Tavra Vashasya creates its own Kefal Dalabay. That would prove that in the framework of Gneva, at least, it is viewed as an act of Gneva. In this case, not necessarily a continuation, but an independent Gneva. It's a Gneva within the framework of Gneva. Now, the truth is, one could have said, as I said before about Rashi, but this is limited to Tvicha Mechira. But if you look at the Ritva and the Ra'ah, they explain it not in terms of Tvicha Mechira per se, but in terms of Tavra Vashasya. The Rajba and Shita Yishana say no. They actually say, Imein Gneva Ein Tvicha Mechira. So is that because they think that there's not even the framework of Gneva, because the Kimle Bidraba Minei takes away the Maisa Gneva as well? As they argue from a Kamle Bidraba Minei point of view? Or are they saying, listen, every Tvicho Mechira requires the Kefel and the Keren of the Gneva, because Tavra Vashasya, even a Tavra Vashasya of Tvicho Mechira, doesn't do that? It's hard to know. There's another possibility as well, and that is the opposite in the direction of Kamle Bidraba. Instead of saying that the impact of Kamle Bidraba Minei is felt by virtue of the elimination of the framework of Gneva, and therefore, we just, Imein Gneva in Tvicho Mechira, There may be another way to explain the main Gneva in Tzvicha Mechira here. And that is the opposite. Tavra Vashasya is considered an extension that is built off of the original Gneva to such an extent that the original Kamlei B'drabba Minei continues to apply. That's had it been an independent Gneva against the framework of an original Gneva, that would have been fine. Because there is a Maisa Gneva, despite Kamlei B'drabba Minei. But the problem is that it's a continuation. And as a continuation, the Ptur Kamlei B'drabba Minei, which is at phase one, continues to poison phase two. If phase two is independent of phase one, then Kamlei B'drabba Minei would be gone. Either way, what emerges from these two shitos are two very important issues, a range of views on two important issues. A, what impact does Kamlei B'drabba Minei have? B, is Tavra Vashasya, even in the context of Tzvicha Mechira, is it, if it's only Mazik, and of course there's nothing to talk about, if it's only Gezel, there's nothing to talk about, if it's Gneva, so then if it's an independent Gneva, and you have the framework of the original Gneva, you should hold like the Ra'ah and the Ritva. If it's an extension Gneva, then it's quite possible that the Kamlei B'drabba Minei phase one continues to. Yeah.
Is there a link to the Raivad?
I'm going to get to it in a second.
That would mean
the Raivad and Sanhedrin.
That would mean now you said that the Phenomena affects later on.
Yes. Just give me one more second. Maybe we'll stop at this because I'm going to have to stop in a minute or two anyway. Let me just mention two other things quickly. This question, parallel to this question, goes back to the Rambam, which I already mentioned, but now in context we can understand it better. Namely, if the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Daled is speaking about the impact of Tavra V'Shasya on the Zman of Kefal, that's again, it's a different issue. The Ra'ah and the Rajba, the Shittishana, the Ra'ah, the Rajba, the Shittishana, the Ritva are talking about the impact of Kamalei B'drabba Minei phase one on Tzvicha Mechira or Tavra V'Shasya of phase two. The issue in the Rambam was, if you have a price fluctuation, right, does Tavra V'Shasya affect the valuation of Kefel, or only of Keren? So Keren for sure, what about Kefel? So it seems like the Rambam holds that Itbar Mimela, no. Tavra V'Shasya, yes. Tavra V'Shasya, Hamada Bedin. So again, if the point of the Rambam was more, well, you just can never do better than you would like to do higher, but you can never do better than the Karen. So if that's the point of the Rambam, maybe that would be a sufficient explanation of the Rambam. But at least Reb Chaim understood that what the Rambam was really saying was that Tavra V'Shasya is its own Shas Hagzela. It's not that then you go by Hamad Abedin. But it's Tavra V'Shasya, the Hamad Bedin is the Shas, not only Gzela, but Gneva. So that's the Zman Gneva LeKefel. So if that's the case, then we understand very well that according to the Rambam, Tavra V'Shasya is not Mazik, it's not even Gzela, it's really Gneva. And that would work nicely with the fact that the Rambam included Mecher, didn't limit it to Kilui HaBe'en. Okay. Had it been only Gzela, this also wouldn't work. So that brings us to Sanhedrin. So in Sanhedrin 9, Beis Amud Aleph, we were dealing with the implication of Rav. I guess I'll stop here, and then I'll, after this point, and I'll just, again, give me a half an hour, either in the long distance one or the other share when I come back before we do Shinui Kama. And then we'll also just spend a few minutes on Rabbi Yaakov also to see Rashi, Tosis, and Tosis Rid on Rabbi Yaakov. I want to speak about that in a few minutes very, very quick. So in Sanhedrin 9 Beis, we were dealing with the implications of Rav. On the one hand, Rav says if the Ben is alive and well, it gets returned. But it seems like Rav also says that if it's destroyed after the Kamlei B'drabba Minei is over, that then you won't pay. And that's a strange halacha. Why should that be? Why should that be true? Mimanachach. If the be'en is subject to chiyav hashava, which means that the chepet still resides somewhat in the reshus of the nignav and nigzal, so then why, when it gets destroyed later, or when you destroy it later, even biadayim, why wouldn't you be chayav? That's the problem. Indeed, as Ramban puts it, why not say tavra v'shasya? Tavra v'shasya is exactly that point. You stole the object at stage A, and at stage B, when it's worth more money, you did tavra v'shasya. You're chayav for stage 2. Here too, you stole the object at stage A. Instead of a price fluctuation, there's a p'tur kam le bedrava mine. Later on, there's no kam le bedrava mine. V'haraya there's a chiyav hashava sabe'en. Right? So, terrific. You should be chayav. That's the question. Unless you say that the chiyav hashava sabe'en has nothing to do with any sort of chiyuv. The chiyuv hashava sabe'en is just a function of the fact that the be'en doesn't belong to you completely. Then doesn't belong to you completely. So then you should give it back. But once there's no be'en, in other words, kamli b'drami is not a kinyan, despite the language of the Gemara kanyinu b'damin. Therefore, there may be no chiyuv tashlumin, but at minimum, there's a ban, an outstanding ban. That's one way. We'll discuss that already. Either way, the Ramban and Balamor were both bothered by this question, and both came to radically opposite conclusions. Balamor seemed to say, in Ochanami, we really pass like Rav. Okay. And Svi's point is well taken. The continuation doesn't sound that way in the Balamor, but again, I, for the life of me, cannot find the transition where he stops saying that it's... where he goes back on what he said earlier, although he then speaks the language of Doraisa, I admit that. Basically, that's Rava. Rava agrees with Rav, which means that really the chiddush is that you have to return the ban. But you don't say v'damu kaninu. But ein chabala chidusho, when it's no longer ban, it's not a problem. Again, unless the Balamor meant, I partially agree with Rav, l'inyan, this, but that you can't keep the chayfetz, it just means that there's no chovas hashav or chovas hashlum. Maybe that's what the Balamor means. Halfway route. Okay. The Ramban goes the other direction. Ramban says, listen, the fact is that Tavra v'shasya, and this conclusion is incorrect. If indeed the chayfetz gets destroyed after the fact, and certainly if you destroy it yourself, you will pay for it. I was all sorts of problems with the Gemara, particularly with the Gemara about Shabbos, about the Easter Shabbos, Shadinu b'Nahara. The Ramban struggles heroically to get out of those problems. This is a classic Tavra v'Shasya. That's the idea of the Ramban. Ramban holds that there's no difference. The difference of Tavra v'Shasya and Yukur Mezula and Tavra v'Shasya with an original Kamlei Bidrava Mine makes no difference. The Ramah, however, ventures a suggestion, because again, we're talking about Rashi and Tosis. They don't hold like the Balamor if they don't say they hold like the Balamor. Balamor is a huge chiddush. They don't hold like the Ramban. They paskin like the Balamor. So what does Ramah say? Michael?
It was really hard to read, but I think it was saying that the original act of theft, it just happens to be that the evaluation of the price, we use the last price that it said.
The Ramah seems to say, when I make my concluding comments, whenever that is, hopefully I'll just focus on the language a little more. But I think what the Ramah is struggling to say, exactly what Michael just said, is this idea of a continuation, phase one. The Ramah is saying, listen, Tavra v'Shasya applies, but it's never independent. It's always phase two. And phase two always has its roots in phase one. So if you're talking about Yukur Vizula, there's no stira between those two things. It's going to be the higher, the more chamor of the two prices. But if you're talking about not a higher or lower price, but But an exemption or a chiyuv, if the roots of this phase two are an exemption in phase one, then phase two never gets off the ground. If phase two gets off the ground and the question is how much, then we're machmir. But if phase two never gets off the ground because phase one is clouded by the Kamalei Bidraba Minei, then there's nothing more to talk about. That's what the Ramah says. Now, how much of the Ramah is based on the idea? No, certainly he's viewing this as an extension. But how much of it is based on this notion of extension? Even, and he's saying basically, even if Kamalei Bidraba Minei is not so powerful, even if it's just a Ptur Tashlumin or a Ptur Achiyuv, let's say it doesn't affect the Chiyuvim or the Maisa. But nonetheless, phase two of Tavra Vashasya very much requires the actual Chiyuv, some of these elements of phase one. Or is the Ramah more... And by the way, the Kamalei Bidraba Minei's impact on phase one is considerable, not trivial. That's a little hard to say. But what's interesting then is the Ravid. The Ravid in Kosav Sham says whether or not the Balamor is right, or the Ramban is right, or better to say, let's say better, whether the Rashi and Tosis are right, or whether the Ramban is right, depends on which Kamalei Bidraba Minei we're talking about. How so, Baruch Dov? We have two cases in the Gemara. One is Machteres, and the other is Shabbos. Two Kamalei Bidraba Minei, so what? Where does he get that from? But Shabbos, which is an Yisrael, where does he get it from? Exactly. So it's another terrific line in Ksuvis, right? Which is expanded by someone else. The Gemara in Ksuvis had a Havamina that you should say Kamalei Bidraba Minei regarding, but you don't say Kamalei Bidraba Minei for Knas, but you do say Kamalei Bidraba Minei for the whole package, right? So you don't, in Kamalei Bidraba Minei, maybe we could be Mechalek between Kamalei Bidraba Minei's Yisr Olam and Yisr Shah. That itself is fascinating. But that's a Havamina of the Gemara, which is rejected. Could be the Maskarnas of Gemara, there's no difference. The Ravid revived it in a totally different application, an application which is not the same either, but is more parallel to the Ra and the Rajba issue. Namely, phase one is Kamalei Bidraba Minei, and phase two, Tzvicha Mechira, is not. So the Ravid says, if we're talking about the Kamalei Bidraba Minei, which is an Yisr Olam, so then what's the halacha? Then Rashi and Tosis are correct. That's the case of the Gemara in Shabbos, Shadinu B'Nahara, your potter. But if we're talking about Baba Machteres, then the Ramban is right. What's going on? The answer is, this proves that there are two elements at play, or at least that the Kamalei Bidraba Minei element is at play. I think what the Ravid is saying is the Kamalei Bidraba Minei, which is an Yisr Olam, is so heinous and so redefining, so eclipsing, that it destroys the framework completely, or if it doesn't destroy the framework, at minimum it destroys the continuity of the chiyuv basis. And for that reason, that Kamalei Bidraba Minei continues to impact going forward. Or it looks like it is. But the Kamalei Bidraba Minei of an Yisr Shah, not an Yisr Olam, that just means there's no Chiyuv Tashlumin. But there's a Maisa Gneva, there's Kinyane Gezela, there's everything. Oh, if that's the case, it doesn't destroy this phase two. It doesn't destroy phase two, then we'll say Tabra the Shasya. The question arises. This is all very very well and good, according to Rashi and Tosis, and according to the Ravid, if it's Yisr Olam. It's a beautiful way of rehabilitating Gemara and Ksuvis, and of highlighting two different types of Kamalei Bidraba Mineis, right, and their impact. I think that's what's going on. I'm speculating. I haven't seen any of this speculating about all of it. But it leaves us with one question, and that is, well, why not be Mechayevim, forget about all this? Forget about being Mechayevim for Geneva or Gezela. Good, there was Kamla Gabine in phase one, and we're explaining it's a dependent or continuous Chiyuv. Why look at it that way? Why not just say Mazik? Why not say Mazik? After all, here are all the kulas are on the side of Gnevo Gezela. So I think that there could be two answers, and that's what I want to expand upon a little bit more next time. One is, if the Kamlei Bedrabimine doesn't wipe out the Kinyane Gneva, Ugezela, then maybe you have the best, from a Kula point of view, of all worlds. You've cut off Gneva Ugezela on phase one, because of Kamlei Bedrabimine. It's not a triviality. But the Kinyan, the Maisa Gzela and the Kinyane Gzela, or Gneva, exist. So in that respect, Shalom Toveach, Shalom Moch, not literally. Meaning, from a, he's not Mazik. He's the junior partner. It goes back to what we spoke of. It doesn't matter. Any partner, maybe, is not Mazik. If Kamlei Bedrabimine wiped out the Kinyanim too, that would be a different story. That would be another way to explain the Ramban. Kamlei Bedrabimine wipes out so much that it's just Mazik. There's no framework. Good. No framework so no Gzela, but what about regular Mazik? You go so far with it, right? You've destroyed it. You've brought it back from a pure Mazik point of view. But if we say there are Kinyanim, and therefore there's no Mazik, it's Kerech Mikan Mikan. No Mazik, no Gzela. No Mazik because there are Kinyanim. No Gzela because there aren't Chiyuvim. That's one explanation. The other explanation, I think, has to do with a more subtle issue, the relationship between Mazik and Gzela. If we look at Mazik and Gzela as two different and opposing factors or externally related factors, then right, if there's not one, why not have the other? It's a classic case. But is it possible that there is a Mazik and Gzela and there's a Gzela in every Mazik? And therefore, in the framework of one, you can't have the other. That's why I was interested in Reb Chaim and Rabbeinu Yonah and the Bach. And that I'll explain next time. One final word. Rabbi Kivager asked a similar question about Gonev Min Haganav. I just want to remind you and put it on this list. Kivager said, let's say the Gonev Min Haganav is in the context of Kamlei Bedrabimine. Maybe then we should say Yer Chaim. In light of everything we've discussed, that's perfect. Depends on how he's assuming Kamlei Bedrabimine affects not only the Tashlumin, but the very chiyuv, maybe even the very mice of Gneva. He's also assuming something about the way that Gonev Min Haganav works. It's related to our Ksos Vesivos Tumim discussion, Tosis Rid discussion, Ramam discussion. It's related as well to our Ravid, Ramban, Rajba, and Ra'ah discussion about Kamlei Bedrabimine. Okay, I wish you all a good week and a quarter. Again, if I can, I'll try to do it from long distance. If not, do good chazara, prepare shiur koneh, and just remember.